You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
There's a title to this conversation, and it's going to be Faith and Obedience. And Greg stole the first part, and these characters stole the second part. Terribly disappointed. Not really. I don't really have to preach. Worship, the Holy Spirit this morning was absolutely with us and in us. Enough said, we can all go home. And then Greg speaks about faith, and Kathy shares faith in action. Our words declared, God's words declared through us over someone's life that brings healing, redemption, salvation, restoration. The story we're talking about for the last number of weeks is transformation. Am I going deaf or is there just something in my ears? There's like this noise. You're good? Is it clear? So my wife and I are elders here, and we are so blessed to be a part of a team of people, not a church that's a one-man or one-woman show. And I would like to say thank you to this leadership team for creating a culture that's not all about just one, but it's about everybody being involved and playing the part that they're called to by God. So I thank you. That's beautiful. And that goes all the way through, I guess this is a family, that goes all the way through our family, that it's not just from the top that idea is important, but it's every part. Yep, I'm obviously a husband. I have 5 children. I think they're all here. I see Joshua and Hannah and Michelle and Levi's back here, and Molly's here. She's just with her children. So my whole crew is here by the grace of God. And I have 7 today beautiful grandchildren. If anyone's not a grandparent, it's pretty neat. Get excited. It's going to be beautiful. And we have number 8 that's being carried around by this beautiful worship leader up here, Gabby Ramsdell. Hee-hee! I don't know if we can say her name yet. Gabby, can we say her name? I think they're going to call her River. River. What a beautiful addition to our family and to this family. Wow. We've been talking about transformation for a number of weeks. What does it mean? What does it look like? He said the word earlier. They both did. Faith, to believe that God is who he says he is and that he'll do what he says he's going to do in the scripture. That relates to our own lives. And then obedience, because it's not a one-way relationship that God wanted to have with us. He wants us to say yes to him. He wants us to actually not just say yes, because I've said yes to a lot of things that I never did, but say yes and then take action. Move our feet. So the word obedience historically isn't a word that we really want to speak about. It's like a bad word. I am a rebellious human by nature. History in the Bible shows that you all are too. The children of Israel repeatedly went back to the same things and made the same mistakes. Yeah, she said to me earlier, stick to your message, Chris. Don't get sidetracked too far. So I'm gonna work on that. Thank you. Thank you, Patty. So faith and obedience, transformation. So the thing about faith and obedience that causes transformation, it's not just important for you so that you can be redeemed and you can be transformed. You can have the presence of God in your own life, but that Faith and obedience, when you exercise it, brings transformation and the possibility that there could be more to everyone that's in your life, everyone that's around you, both the saved and the unsaved. This was not part of my earlier plan, but it just developed. I just got a news flash. Is there anyone here that has, up until this day, not asked God to be an active, integral part of your life? If you're a standard Christian person, you'd call that being born again or salvation. Is there anyone here that hasn't asked God to be the driver in their lives? You can raise your hand. No one will shoot you. Are we all? Is everyone here born again, have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their life? This is a beautiful day. I'm talking to the wrong people. I'm going to have to go. I'm glad. So I'm talking to the right folks. If there was someone here that had not accepted Christ, I was going to ask them if they wanted to. And then this message could become powerful in their life as well. Obedience. Do you notice that actual faith is always accompanied by a challenge? Something that you didn't expect, didn't really care for, actually. It requires persistence, perseverance. We're going to look at a scripture. Nobody really likes to listen to James because he's too harsh, but he's in the Bible, so I think he's important to us. If we could have James 2, 14 through 17. Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags, half-starved, and you say, "Good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit," and then you walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I don't want to say that to you people, right? And you don't want me to say it to you. There's human trafficking in our world, and you've known that like the rest of us do. The choice that you made is quite different than the choice that I made. You decided to act. Thank you. Everyone thanks you. If you have resources and you feel led by the Holy Spirit, look up online opportunities that you could contribute to that. You may not be actively engaged, but you can still change people's lives by giving to people that are engaged. Just a sidebar. So faith and action doesn't have to be just with our feet. It can also be with our dollars. They're very influential. Again, as James said, faith requires action. Prayer is powerful and life-changing, but it also sometimes requires us to get our hands dirty. Or be intensely inconvenienced. Intensely inconvenienced. Betty, Peter, I didn't ask you if I could do this, but I would like to. This cup here, would you guys stand up, actually? Pete, you can stand up too. Is Stephen, are you here, Stephen? Last. Andrew, these people were severely inconvenienced for a very large portion of their lives. Do you know what that inconvenience was? He's standing in front of you. He's talking to you right now. Do you also know that that inconvenience transformed my life? It cost them not only their time and their space and their money. It cost them emotionally because it's painful to have someone in your home. And I want to say thank you. Just like I said thank you here. You allowed your lives to be inconvenienced, and it transformed my life. So here comes James back at you. What will we do? Will we ask God what it is that he wants us to do, and then will we do it? It's different for every one of us, and it has to be, because the calling, the giftings, everything that God's put in your life is specifically for you. And the thing that he wants you to do, it's yours. It's possible that no one else can do it. Do you know who you are? We sang about it this morning. I thought this has all been a setup. From rags to royalty. You are all royalty. You've just declared to me that you're all sons of God and daughters of God, the Most High God. You're royalty. There is a deposit of God in you that's unique, that no one else can represent. A million years ago, Rod and Fern Douglas, another incredibly influential group of people in my life, couple, I guess, they're not a group. Well, they have the Holy Spirit, so there's more than two of them. They declared that over my life and over our lives, that we're sons and daughters of God. The deposit that he's placed in you isn't given to anyone else, and only you can represent that peace. So be willing to find out what it is. Carson, you're beautiful, and I'm so glad you're here. Donna, you're much more beautiful than he is, and I'm so glad you're here. Nice to see your faces. Wow, getting sidetracked. You're so good looking, that's why. How about Hebrews 11? The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, so I'm going to hang right there for just a second. What is faith? It seems like a nebulous word that's out there somewhere, a little hard to get a hold of. It's right there in one word, three words, trust in God. It's not a religious idea. It's an action. Trust is an action. This faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see, or who we can't see at times, God. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. There was a whole group of Hebrews that were called the faith heroes. They're not called faith heroes because of what they spoke and is written in Scripture. They're called faith heroes because of the action that they took in trusting God. They moved. Abraham was called to trust God and move away from his family, away from the land that he grew up in, and begin to trust God. It could seem ridiculous, but it's faith. Where are we headed? Do you think that Abraham had ideas about how his life would go in the land that he was living in? It required him to give up some of that. Pete and Betty left Pennsylvania. Their family, their friends, their churches. They came to a foreign land here in upstate New York, and they gave their life here for the kingdom. And that had tremendous impact on my life. And not just my life, this whole church. How about Matthew 4, 18 through 22? Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishermen, and they were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. Short distance down the beach, they came upon another pair of brothers, James and John, Zebedee's sons. These two were sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their nets. Jesus made the same offer to them, and they were just as quick to follow, abandoning their boat and their father. Think about the last part of that sentence, abandoning their boat and father. What does that mean if it was you that was called? What's your boat? That's your livelihood, your identity, in my case, my ego. Maybe others have egos too. I don't know. I do. It dies hard, actually. Yeah, no one else's does. No one else's does, right? It's easy to just let your ego die, who you think you are, and that's no problem. These guys, initially I thought, well, that must have been a little stupid because they didn't know who Jesus was. But when I researched the story a little more, they were disciples of John the Baptist. So they knew who Jesus was, and they knew that they were hoping that he was the Messiah. When he called them, they abandoned their life as they knew it and followed him. Think how hard that was first. I'm going to think about the human side of that. Was that easy for them to do? I'm going to say it was terrible, actually. It was asking way more than was reasonable. It was not reasonable. Jess, Greg, to build your family as rapidly as you did by being faithful in obedience is an unreasonable idea. It's unreasonable. But you're going to change history with that decision. Thank you. And they're not the only people in this room, right? Like, I'm standing in front of unbelievable people right now. You guys are changing history by your choices to love people that needed to be loved. You coaches, people that are coaching, you're loving a group of people. You teachers, you plant workers that put up with the same craziness every day and you still choose to love people. You corrections officers, everyone in this room. Is there more? I guess today that's my question. You listen, these guys had already done some probably great things, but was there more? Was there more for them? Mark, can we do Mark? Mark. Mark 2, 1 through 6. After a few days, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and the word got around that he was back home. A crowd gathered, jamming the entrance so no one could get in or out. He was teaching the word. They, a group of guys, brought a paralytic to him, carried by four men. When they weren't able to get in because of the crowd, they removed part of the roof and lowered the paraplegic on his stretcher. Impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, "Son, I forgive your sins." These guys bumped up against some difficulty or limitations, but they didn't use those things as an excuse to stop. We could bump up against some limitations in the things that God's called us to, and we might want to stop and not press further into what it is that God's calling us. Are we getting a picture? It's not easy. Greg said that earlier. In this world, you're going to experience difficulty. The calling that God puts on your life could cause some difficulty. Here's a possibility. We tend to be an incredibly blessed people, like homes, vehicles, incredible spouses, wives, children. We're a blessed people. Don't allow that blessing to be the thing that stops you from embracing what God's calling you to. Because this incredible blessing can become, and does become for me, a stop point where I think, well, this is what God has for me, and all these blessings followed, and they are indeed blessings. But there could be another season in your life that there's actually more. So don't allow those things that God blessed you with to keep you from the next thing that he wants to bless you with. Sometimes success is the greatest enemy to more success or God's plan for your life. Oh, I'm going to fall asleep. No, not just yet. Can I talk about Augsburg or possible church planning ideas? So we've declared as a leadership team, Greg especially probably spearheading this conversation, that we're going to be a church planting church. That's actually in our DNA from the very beginning. It's not a new idea, although it's a fresh idea and it's a little more radical. My wife and I went to Plattsburgh a couple years ago. We helped with a church plant. It's challenging. It's very expensive. It's very expensive in every way. Just like Pete and Betty having the expense of another human being in their lives and then dealing with another person, it's costly. And it seems like if you look at Jesus's life, you look at most of the heroes of faith, God made a declaration over them, and then they experienced what seemed like unreasonable difficulty. Jesus, so that we could all know what forgiveness is, so that we could all be redeemed, so that we could all be set free from sin, had to endure the cross. Now, this is God, the Son of God, fully man. He's in the garden, and he is literally sweating drops of blood because the reality of what his Father is asking him to do seems unreasonable and too expensive. The very same way that Jesus paid that price for our sakes, in smaller, different ways, but sometimes they seem almost as unreasonable. God could call us or ask us to do something that seems unreasonable. He's not doing that because he doesn't love us. He's doing that because he loves all of us, and he wants everyone to know that same joy of obedience, that same joy of being willing to lay our life down for something that has eternal value. It's not just building a bank account. It's not just buying a bigger house, a bigger boat. It's actually laying my life down. It's not like this self-destructive idea that I have. It's presented in the Gospels. Just like Jesus laid his life down, he asks us to lay our lives down for others. The reward of that choice has eternal consequence for us and everyone that touches. And that's really his goal and his dream for us, that we would be like a kernel of corn that would go into the ground and be willing to be laid down and die and come up with incredible amounts of fruit. What time is it, Patty White? 11:30. How much time do we have? It's 15 minutes. She said, I always go over, and she's going to have a big flashcard to stop me when I talk too long. I said, that's an incredibly good idea. This morning, Heather Grobler, I call her Heather Grobler, Tony. Her name is Heather Ramsdell. Her brother, Fred, called me this morning. And we had a great conversation. Sometimes that's a difficult conversation, and sometimes it's a wonderful conversation. But this morning, it was both of those things. It was challenging, and it was wonderful. So Fred's a pretty tough guy. He doesn't cry or doesn't tear up very often. And he said, Chris, now we had another part of a conversation. This wasn't what the whole story was about, but in the conversation, he remembers something. He said, Chris, I was in the store the other day, and I saw your daughter, Michelle, and I didn't know it was her initially, but then she took her mask off, and she began to talk to me, and I knew it was Michelle. And he said, there was a joy that was just radiating out of her. And he began to weep on the other end of the phone. And this is a tough dude. He's a great guy, but he's a tough guy. He begins to weep on the other end of the line. He said, Chris, there was a joy that was just radiating from her. Just beautiful joy. And I said, Fred, I'm speaking about faith and obedience this morning, right? So I'm like, yeah. So I start to cry, and I can hardly talk to him. I said, Fred, there have been decisions in Michelle's life and Travis's life, both of them, and I asked their permission to share this story, so I'm not throwing them under the bus or anything like that. I said, there have been decisions in their lives as a couple that have been extremely difficult. Most people, if you look at percentages, which we don't need to, but if you look at the numbers, most people in relationship, when they face extreme difficulty, flee. That's not an accusation against that choice. I'm not accusing anyone of doing something wrong when they can't take any more. I'm not saying that. So please don't hear that in this word, in this conversation. But what they were able to do by the grace of God in this extremely difficult moment, months, possibly years, in their relationship, they got a word from God. They heard. They were filled with faith, and they were obedient to what they had heard from God. And that was, keep working at it. Stay at it. So you watch now, how many years? 5 years after much of that difficulty, you see this same young lady in the store, and you see absolute beauty. The scripture is not mistaken when it says, I give you beauty for ashes. What we saw was ashes. There was a literal destruction that took place relationally. Obedience and faithfulness to God and each other has now produced absolute beauty. I can't do that. You can't do that. But you know what we can do? We can be obedient. You used the word earlier. It is transformation. So the very thing that my rebellious nature hates is obedience. Even the idea of it, I tighten up about. But that very idea and action produces beauty that the world needs to see. They need to see it. I need to see it in your lives and in my own life. The beauty of obedience, the joy, the purpose, the passion of obedience. It sounds like I'm using the wrong word. Like, that's not the right word. It is the right word. In your own marriages, in your own lives, in your own relationships, and in your relationship with God, that word, obedience, is the thing that declares to God that you actually love Him. It's not just a word that we confess in a moment. It's a life that's laid down as his was. Is that comfortable? No. Terrible. It's terrible. And it's beautiful. It's terrible and it's beautiful. Can that be possible? It is. It is. I see it in front of me. This church is filled with people that have made decisions in obedience, out of obedience, that has changed their lives and multitudes of others. Thank you. Thank you. The Holy Spirit wants to say thank you for those moments that you were willing and obedient. You're in the supermarket. I don't want to be bothered. I'm shopping. Leave me alone. Just take a second and say, Holy Spirit, is there anybody in this place that needs a word of encouragement? Just one person. And you don't have to talk all day. Just go up and say, hey, God loves you. You guys, you're amazing. What a beautiful couple, or what a wonderful person you are. You can change someone's day. We're in Middle Saranac Lake. We're putting a roof on for this lady. This lady is an absolute sweetheart. I'm not going to say her name just because she has face. She has, hi, if you're, I'm talking about you without your permission. That could be bad. I'm not going to say her name. We do a roof for this person, and we're there for 6 or 7 days, right? Like, she should hate us by now for sure. And we're disrupting her whole life. We're banging on her house at 7 o'clock in the morning. And anyway, I got the opportunity to share with her and her husband about my life a little bit, about falling in love with someone that had a couple of children without me, and how the potential for the pain of that actually stopped me from moving forward. I wasn't gonna marry that incredible woman because I was too afraid. Fear, huge motivator to stop us from the purpose of God. So I had said no to God out loud, very loud. I'm not gonna do it. Not gonna marry her. Stop. Leave me alone. That was my conversation with God. I fall in love with her, and we get married. Well, God made me a promise in New York City that Michelle and Molly would be the greatest joy in my life. We're now 28 years. Now, the rest of you kids, don't lose heart. God has fulfilled that promise for 28 years. And I love every one of my children exactly the same. And I don't know how that's possible. I think that it's impossible. So I'm sharing that story with this lady. And a little bit, I'm in the middle of it, I'm thinking, why am I saying this? She cares less. Just get my roof done and get out of here. So her first husband passed away. And they had 2 children. And her new husband was now the father of 2 children that he didn't help create. So this conversation spoke directly into their lives. I didn't know that. It was an incredible conversation. And so we had several wonderful conversations after that. It turns out, at our last day there, she brings me a book that she had written. And I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to. And she just begins to share with myself and Levi how she was from a religious family. They were Lutherans, or I'm not sure. I think they were Lutherans. And she just said that her personal experience was difficult and painful enough in the Christian community that she's now a Buddhist, because the Christian faith was so damaging to her life. And I just got 5 minutes to say to her that I am responsible. We often, as Christians, are responsible for completely misrepresenting who God is, and that he's a God of love. And he laid his life down for me and for you. And so hopefully just a moment for her to see that there could be there could be a Christian group of people that actually want what Jesus did, how he lived. They want that to be a part of their lives. So we had a great conversation. She just was tearfully thankful that we were at her house, and it was a great opportunity. Why am I sharing this story? I'm sharing this story because we all are representatives of who Christ is. And I think anyone in this room that actually knows me would know that I'm not often a good representative. I want that to change in my own life. I want to represent him well. And I want to implore all of you actually to do the same by acts of faith and obedience, that you, by laying your own lives down for others, can clearly pave a way for people to see who God really is, that he loves them incredibly, and that not only is he willing to lay his life down, but we're going to do the same. 11:38. You've listened long enough. Dave, you're falling asleep. It's okay. I'm just kidding. Oh, man. Dayton, the cost is too high, right? I agree. I'm not arguing. It is. It's too high. What will we do? I don't know. John and Alice, you went to Virginia. I'm wrong. You went to Virginia. You laid your lives down for other people for years. Thank you. An example to our family of how to live. We appreciate that. Billy, you're amazing. No limit to what you can do in God. You're his sons and daughters. You're amazing people. No one else can do what you can do. Will you do it? I don't know what it is. You don't even know what it is, and it'll change. It's not always going to be the same thing. Will you do it? He's a big God. He's not going to let you down. You don't have to jump off a cliff. Well, maybe you will. I don't know. I had a dream one night before we went to Plattsburgh, and he takes me to a cliff, and he looks at me, and he says, "Will you jump?" No. Are you crazy? I'm not doing that. Talk to God like he's your friend, because he is. He loves you so much, he laid his life down. And he didn't just lay it down like so it could be some kind of historical thing. He wants it to be the example for us to follow him and do the same things. When it's all over, when I'm done, what did my life look like? What did it amount to? I don't want to get done and just say, "Boy, I was a good builder. I built some nice houses for people. Wasn't that pretty?" That's great. And do what God calls you to. I'm not saying that that's not your calling. If that's your calling, do it radically. And I know that's a poor choice of words in our time in history, but it's essential for our lives to be laid down, and that is a radical idea. It does not make sense, and it's going to be way too expensive, I can tell you. You'll have to sell houses and go build other ones and move to a different place and make new friends. It's unreasonable, God. I'm not going to do it. But will people's lives be transformed? Will I be obedient in that moment and in that continued moment of weeks and years? I don't want to. Do you? Do you want to lay down your life as it is? No. Well, maybe you do. There is eternal consequence or reward, same idea, but actually they go in opposite directions. There's eternal reward and consequence for our inaction. I'm talking all about us like it's all about us. God does all of this. We can do nothing apart from him. Just so you know, I'm not preaching something here that it's all about us. That's not it. But will we join with him? Will we embrace the calling and giftings that he's put in our lives, the unique person that he's made, and will we bring that representation of him to our jobs, to another place, to another land, to a different home? I don't want to. I'll be straight with you. It's too expensive. But I can't not, because it's too expensive for someone else. Will you be willing to pay some price and invest your life for the benefit of another? It seems too expensive. It's too expensive. Eternal consequence for your choice. And I've talked too long. I wanted to have an altar call, actually, and see if there would be people that were filled with faith and wanted to pray for others, but I don't know if it's necessary. Do you guys feel like it would be too uncomfortable to have someone up front here lay hands on you and pray for you if you wanted it? Or is COVID still too scary? If it is, don't come down, right? This is not a pressured moment. If you are in a spot in your life where you want God to speak to you and you want an increase in faith and you want to be empowered to be obedient to him, feel free to come down, and there will be some folks here that will pray with you. And together, us and Jesus, people's lives will be transformed. Listen, there's no other plan. He didn't have another idea. We're the church. We're it. We're it. There's not another plan. Greg, if you want to close this out, you can, and if you don't want to, you can't. If some folks would like prayer, I would like you to come forward. Pete and Betty, you're a people of faith. Would you come and pray for people? Or would you rather be prayed for? You can choose. Bernie and Avis, would you come and be filled with faith and lay your hands on people? If you're not comfortable, don't, Avis. Michelle and Travis, would you be willing to impart faith and obedience? It's a gifting. It's a gift from God.
Why don't we all stand right now? If that's you, come down right now. Some folks have already come down. If that's you, you want prayer for faith. You want prayer for God to stir faith and obedience in you. You want prayer for God to give you boldness. You need prayer for the Holy Spirit to stir you up. Come down right now. That's fine. We're just going to pray for a minute, and I'm going to pray over the rest of us. Wherever you're at, if you're online and you want to stir faith in you, even though you're not in this room, the Holy Spirit's in your place right now. And he can stir faith wherever we're at. Maybe you're in your seats and you don't feel comfortable to come down. That's fine. Why don't you lift your hands? Take some action right now that says, listen, I want faith. I want faith, Jesus. Stir up something inside me. So, Father, we just lift our hands to you, God, wherever we're at, God. Those that have come down, Father, just taking action to say, God, we want something to be stirred up inside of us, God. For those that are even watching online in their home, God, I pray right now that there'd be an action moment that would just say, Father, we don't want to just remain where we are. Holy Spirit, we don't want to just be what we were yesterday, God. We want to be transformed into all you've designed us to be, God. We want to be transformed into what you've thought of since before the beginning of time, as your scripture says over us, that you have plans and purposes in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I ask right now that you would just stir up your faith. You stir up your boldness for us to say yes. God, that it wouldn't just be words, but it would be in action. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're doing this morning. God, we thank you for how you're stirring us. God, and we ask right now that you would just embolden us to start moving forward, saying yes wherever you have us, God, in our workplace, God, in our school systems, God, when we're out in the grocery stores, Father, when we're even online and just in our social media presence, God, or even if it is an action that says, I'm going to have you move to a new place to show the representation of me, God, that we would say yes. And so, Father, we thank you for who you are this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, you know, don't rush out. If you want prayer, we'd love to pray for you. If God's doing something in you this morning, I would just implore you, as always, tell somebody what God is speaking to you. Tell somebody what God is moving inside you. Be blessed. Have a great day. We're just going to linger for a few moments.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.